Okay, turn in your Bibles for just for an introductory word tonight in John 4. And this is a continuation of a series that we started Wednesday night on worship, on the world system and the Christ coming to the woman at the well. And in John 4, we have very profound word from God on this subject, and this has to do with worship. So Pastor Carl's here from the folks from Wilmington. We're very glad you're here tonight, and other visitors too. Jesus said unto her in verse 21, Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So he is saying that we worship God, and we have the real God. And we have the real God. Jesus said unto her in verse 21, Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So he is saying that we worship God, and we God, the living God. And he said, then he said, "The hour comes," in verse 23, "and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." And this is the part I want you to take notice of. "For the Father seeks such to worship him." Is God seeking something from us? What is he seeking from us? Worship. What is the Father seeking regarding us? Does he seek bright minds and shining personalities and good works? Or is he, all that might happen, but he's looking for something more. What is he looking for? Worship. What is worship? Isn't it a good question? What is worship? And the Father seeks that worship. Why would God seek worship? Why would God seek worship? Do the angels worship God? They do. They worship God. They are in the presence of God, worshiping God. And then we human beings are on the earth. And I wonder how many worship God in spirit and truth. We are told here by Christ that the Father seeks. He seeks it. He seeks it. Isn't it? Doesn't it say that? He is looking for it. He wants it. He desires it. And he seeks worship. Isn't that amazing? What if I can give God, you know, I give God a little bit of my time, I give God a little bit of my attention. 3. The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers, and I want to say that is us, shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. I think of the Bible as being the truth and the spirit. They are together. The Bible, written by God, the truth of the Bible and the Spirit of God in the Bible, and we worship God as God in spirit and truth, trusting in Him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't package God. He is spirit. He is immense. He is everywhere. He knows all things. He is eternal. He is infinite. He is beyond us. He is God, and we worship Him in spirit. He gave us His Spirit. We are like Him. We are made in His image. We are worshipers of God. It's a lost art in life. Even in the Christian life, I think that there are people that maybe they struggle, but have they found the Holy Spirit blessing of the anointing of waiting on God, the anointing in prayer, the anointing in trust, the anointing in taking up the cross? The Spirit of God in you, worshiping. One time I took my son, and he was a little guy at the time. I have two of them, as you know, and I think I did it with both of them, but that we were, in the evening walking somewhere down the sidewalk or jogging or something, we stopped, and I go, let's get on our knees, and just near the sidewalk, and let's just give up everything. Give up everything to God. Lord, everything is yours. All my worries, all my cares, all my problems, all my life. I give you my whole life. I trust you with all my heart. And we worship you. And just stay there for a little bit. And surrender and really mean it in our hearts. That God is God, and we are not God. We are not at the center. He is. He is God. Do you know, if the Holy Spirit is in that kind of prayer, guess what? The Father seeks such that worship Him. He enjoys it. He made us that way. Psalm 100. He made us to be worshipers. How much are we worshiping God and putting Him in His rightful place? How much are we relating to God in everyday life? How much is like our complaining versus our thanksgiving? How much is our analysis versus our faith? How much is our personality versus the cross and total trust and surrender in God? But the Father seeks such that worship Him. Isn't that good? I go to another place, Philippians 3:3. And I'm saying these things for our instruction and encouragement. And I honestly believe this is very precious to us. And chapter 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision, and he's going to describe what that is. It is not a circumcision of our flesh as the Jews, but it's that which makes us different are three things. We worship God in the Spirit, number one. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, number two. We have no confidence in the flesh. Number three, would you memorize those three things, you know, right now? Why not do it just now? Read it a few times and say it to your neighbor. Try to memorize verse three. Really put it in your heart. We are the circumcision. Say it out loud with me. Which worship God in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit. That's we are the circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. Number two, we rejoice. There's a big word. We love Jesus. We rejoice in Jesus Christ. Christ means a lot. I asked the Jehovah's Witness, I go, do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? They don't rejoice in him. They do not rejoice in him, but we do. He is our God. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. A lot. A lot. Number three. And say it to your neighbor. Read it and say it to your neighbor. What? No confidence in our flesh, right? No confidence in our flesh. We have no confidence in our flesh. You're a pretty clever guy. Yes, I might be a clever guy, somebody could say, but I don't have any confidence in my flesh. You got a great personality. Yeah, but I might, maybe, maybe not. I don't care. I have no confidence in my flesh. You got great resources. You can pick up the phone and make a call and solve your problem. Yeah, I could do that, but I have no confidence in the flesh. My flesh or anybody else's flesh. God might do that, and I might do that, but that is not where my confidence is. I don't have confidence in me solving my problems my way. I am different. We have a different kind of life. We have the cross life. The cross. Lastly, turn to Psalm 34. And we can read verse 1. The world cannot do this, by the way, what we're speaking about tonight. The world does not know it. The world does not worship God. The world does not know God. The world does not rejoice in Christ. The world has confidence in the flesh. The world operates without God, but not us. We are worshipers. We are worshipers. I wonder how much of the blessing in your life has happened because you are a worshiper of God. I wonder what God did for us because we are worshipers of God. I don't know. I do not know. We will know later, undoubtedly, in heaven in some way. But I believe that God made us to be worshipers of God and that we would have high regard on him. High regard on him in the beginning of the day. High regard on him during the day. High regard on him at night. High regard on him in the summer, in the winter. In young, youthful days and old age, we have a high regard on God. We are worshipers of God. He is seeking this worship. And we have it. Verse 1, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How much? Continually. Always thankful. Always ready with a good word. Always edifying sisters and brothers. Always understanding that God is present and he's able. Now, always understanding, maybe quietly believing, quietly trusting and worshiping God as a way of life. We are worshipers. Wow. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I wonder how much we saw more clearly what God has done and who God is, how much we would be continually boasting in him and praising and relating to him in our hearts, deep inside, even in our quietness, just in our nature, we are really having high regard for God because God put his spirit in us. We are finding deep things in the Bible. The Bible is speaking to us, encouraging us. We are going home at night saying, thank you, God. We are waking up in the morning thinking about him and how good he is to us. And just living our lives with this in the background. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. The anxiety that people have in life sometimes is very deep. But it's amazing when you don't have any anxiety, imagine. No anxiety, no fear. You don't worry about anything. Can you imagine how awesome that is? And that is how, actually, this is what he's saying to us. This is really us. I'm not saying we are perfect, but I am saying that there is something about church life and the spiritual life and the life of truth that penetrates into our spirit in our worship of God where he sets us free and we're able to say these things. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, if a man who has an addiction problem could start to hear from God and get laser focused into listening and become a worshiper, I am convinced his habits will go away. I believe that if somebody who has some vice, some addiction, some bad habit, some ugly thing that is in his soul that troubles him, if he could get as a listener and be a worshiper as he listens and get focused in, that thing will be gone and he will find a new life and he'll begin to listen and listen to 1 hour of doctrine every day and become a student of the Bible and be praising God and learning to sing the hymns and learning to praise God and be edifying in his way of life, and he will find that God will, it says, they will look unto him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The angel camped around him. He tasted and saw the Lord is good. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Fearing him. Recently, I had a little thing happen in my mind and in my heart, and it was not fearing God. Not fearing God, but being some kind, some attitude of some kind, some pride or arrogance in my heart, some attitude where I recognized it and I saw what it was. And I said, oh, Lord, the proverb says to fear you all the time. And that's what I want in my life. So I said a prayer. Lord, I never want to be like that. I want to fear you all my life. I want to have high respect for you and believe your way is better than my way. It's a simple prayer. It's the same when a man has temptations with women. Why not say a simple prayer? How about a man who has a problem with coveting and maybe jealousy or any of these problems that people have normally as human beings? What about looking unto God in prayer and worshiping him? And they are gone. God deals with it. God sets us free. God does not lead us He does not lead us into temptation. He leads us into a wide open field, a land of the land of the living. He does. In the last verse there, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But listen to this. For they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They will not lack anything. They'll have everything they need. They will have it all. I want to close by saying, I honestly feel that worship is in some believers' lives lacking. They are not worshipers, they are complainers. They are not worshipers, they are theologians that study the theology, but they are not worshipers. There are people maybe that carry the Bible and are ready to police a group of people and make sure they don't do anything wrong, but they are not worshipers. We come into a ministry where we learn to worship, and as we worship, God speaks to us and helps us in life. And we find connection with Him. We are edified, encouraged, enlightened, and set free. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for this meditation. We believe it. Tonight we could go home. We are in church, and we can just be who we are and just have high regard for you. We will find an easy way, the way of life, to escape the way below. We will be free and be your anointed people. Lead us in a world of great temptations, great snares and pitfalls for human beings. But we believe the way of Jesus Christ is the only way. And he said to the woman, the Father seeks worshipers. And we are those people. Thank you, God. Amen.
All right, just a few words here to continue on that about worship, and then Pastor Mark's going to come up and lead us into our time of prayer and praise. So just thinking just how much confusion can be introduced to our system and where we bring ourselves back to correction. So we know that we live in a world that is confused and cosmically chaotic because of what Satan is doing. We heard this morning the beginning of the book of Job. Satan is not a settled entity. He is roaming to and fro, and he is attempting to confuse every manner of thing. This is not a new thing under the sun. This is something that has been progressively introduced throughout the centuries. And every now and then, there is a time when there's trouble in nations, and then there's a time when there's trouble in families, and then there's time when there's a trouble in the worship center, in the church. And how do we approach that? How do we face that? And 1 Samuel, the beginning of it, tells us there was a certain man. And he was a man of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. And it says who he was, the son. But it says in verse 3, now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord. Now, later on, they tell us about these two guys. Hophni and Phinehas, they did not know the Lord. This is like, these are your greeters at the church. You know, you come to the church, there's trouble in the family also. It goes through this. I won't go into all of it, but just to think about, like, there was a certain man and he worshiped. And a certain man who worshiped brought his family to the place of worship, even though the guys who were in charge of the place of worship weren't the most, they weren't, these guys were sons of Belial, it says, these two guys. And their father was not a father who corrected them. But still, it says that this certain man took his family to worship. And in that family was a woman. And that woman's name was Hannah. And we've heard the story taught to us before about how Hannah is in this place. She is pouring her heart out to the Lord. She is in grief because she has no child. And her womb, it says the Lord made her womb barren. Why would the Lord make her womb barren? Well, it wasn't going to be barren forever. It was going to be used at the right time in the right situation. And the right time in the right situation with a certain man who was her husband is going to bring Hannah to this place where she poured out her heart to the Lord. Another kind of worship. Have you grieved this way before the Lord? Have you grieved this way before the Lord? She was seen by the man who was in charge of the temple. She was seen by him. And he cast a proud look at her a little bit, like, why are you drunk, woman? I'm not drunk. I am so grief-stricken because my womb is empty. Don't look at me this way. And he prayed for her. And it says that the certain man went home with this certain woman, and she conceived. And that person we know as Samuel. One certain man chose to do what God had called him to do, which was to worship. It's like, let's not betray the forms, the traditions, the ordinances, whatever you know, these are not bad words if they're used in the context of what we have here. You know, here we see that this center of worship is not operating correctly. It's not operating properly. But Elkanah says, I still got to take my family up to the place and we got to worship. And he didn't know what was coming. He was thinking, Hannah, I love you so much. Am I not better than 10 sons to you? And what was her response? No. So this man believed God and something amazing happened. I'm going to come back to this story in a minute. I want to talk about another man, a man on an island. We know this John. We know that the Roman Empire is a wicked, culturally crazy time also. And John has been put on the island of Patmos. And we read it in Revelation. He's been put there for his testimony and for the word of the Lord. But it says that on a certain day, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So I don't have a church. What am I going to do? I'm on an island all by myself. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to kneel before the Lord. I'm going to worship anyway. And before John knows it, John is seeing the Alpha to the Omega. And God is like revealing all manner of things to him. And the first part of that is telling him, you know what? I know you're here. I know you're like a pastor separated from all your flocks. And those flocks, you know, they're still there. They're still there. Some of them have issues. Some have forgotten their first love. Some are letting this lady Jezebel teach doctrine and strange things about sleeping with people. And then there's others who are being persecuted. Some are by Satan. See, some are faithful. Some are suffering. But there's 7 churches, and you are in charge of those churches. And those churches are still there. And you're still their pastor, even though you're separated by a body of water and stuck on this island. But I'm going to show you. The Spirit showed, Lord, I'm going to worship anyway. And before John knows it, John is seeing the Alpha to the Omega. and God is like revealing all manner of things to him. And the first part of that is telling him, you know what? I know you're here. I know you're like a pastor separated from all your flocks. And those flocks, you know, they're still there. They're still there. Some of them have issues. Some have forgotten their first love. Some are letting this lady Jezebel teach doctrine and strange things about sleeping with people. And then there's others who are being persecuted. Some are by Satan. See, some are faithful. Some are suffering. But there's seven churches, and you are in charge of those churches. And those churches are still there. And you're still their pastor, even though you're separated by a body of water and on this, stuck on this island. But I'm going to show you. The Spirit showed him that there's still something at work. Then if you read through it, you get towards the end of the seven seals. It's amazing as John is seeing this. He's all alone. He's all alone. He's thinking about the seven churches. And suddenly he's standing, watching an untold, uncountable number of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, uncountable, singing to the glory of God. This is worship. We can be in a troubled situation, but we come to the place and we worship. We can be stuck, separated. We come to God and we worship. And then God takes us places. Now, the last part I want to say here is, look, Hannah in chapter 2, she's pregnant. She has a baby. She's rejoicing. It's really kind of interesting. This is in the English Standard Version. It says, my heart, this is the beginning, verse 1 of chapter 2. My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies. Now here's the kicker. And how do I deride my enemies? Because I rejoice in your salvation. What's the best way to get back at your enemies? To rejoice in your salvation. That's just the way it is. And she sings a lot of other things here and prays a lot of other things. But this is what God has brought us into and given us these convictions. And if we operate in the space of these convictions, following these convictions to be in the place of worship, there's no telling what God can do. What did John see? Everything. The Lamb. Everything. I think there's three visions of Jesus Christ there in all of his categories. It's amazing. All those beautiful saved people rejoicing the Lord, shaking heaven and pointing to the new heavens and the new earth. And what happened here? Samuel was born and the nation of Israel was transformed in a manner of years, and because of what Hannah and her husband, because they came to worship at that time. So let's worship the Lord tonight. Let's worship the Lord and believe God for what he's going to do in our hearts. Amen.